Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 7. We'll start with verse 13 and we'll read to the end of the chapter at verse 25. That's on page 943 and 944 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 7, beginning with the 13th verse, "Hear now the word of our Lord. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment and might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Thus we've read Romans 7, 13 through 25. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Wondrous Father in heaven, this we confess is your word that you have inspired by your Holy Spirit and that you have given to us in your grace and in your love. We ask that in that same grace and love that you would hide this word in our hearts, that it would help us when we need it, that you would bring it to mind so that we might live it out. Lord, be with the proclamation of your word, that it would be faithful to your truth and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've come to Romans 7 where Paul has talked already about our sin. He's talked about our salvation by faith, our peace with God, how we're no longer slaves to sin. He's made sure we understand that we're not supposed to just go around sinning now that we're believers saved by grace. But the question is, if we're no longer slaves to sin, why is it that when we look at our lives as Christians, we so often see sin? And so Paul is dealing with that struggle of the Christian here. And he wants us to understand first and foremost that the law itself is still spiritual. It is not what kills us. But sin has produced death in us. And that sin's not the law's fault. Paul just finished arguing that very point in the previous verses. It is sin that kills, not the law. It's sin working through the law and not the law working sin. The law is good. It doesn't bring death or sin, but it reveals sin. And it reveals that sin is exceedingly sinful to us. It helps us understand the greatness of our sin and misery. And ultimately, it's sin that brings with it its wages, which is death. Sin isn't inherent in the law, only revealed to us through the proper and godly use of the law. And we can know without a doubt that the law then is spiritual, that it has a good purpose, and that it accomplishes that purpose. We can also know that the law is spiritual because of the source of the law. Let's not forget it's God who gave us the law. And God is good. Our good and loving Father in heaven doesn't give us something that is evil and bad, but rather something that is good and spiritual. God Himself gave it to Moses, and He reinforced it with Jesus when Jesus says, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." God has given the law so we can know it's good, that it's holy, that it's spiritual. He gave it, and it flows out of His own character. So we can rest assured that the law is good and spiritual and serves the purpose that God has given to it. And that purpose is important for us as His children. So that sin through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. That we would truly see the heinous nature of our sin. And Paul then begins to talk about seeing that heinous nature of sin in himself. And I do think that Paul is talking about the struggle of a Christian here. There is some debate always about whether when Paul is saying, "I do what I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do," is he talking about a Christian or is he talking about something else? Someone before Christian or a Jew who is yet to believe. But I believe that Paul here is giving us a picture of his own internal struggle as a Christian. And therefore, we can see our own internal struggle in it. First of all, we see in verse 15 that this person hates sin. Where he says, "I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate." This person already has a heart that hates sin. And is described as someone who wants to do the opposite of sin, that he wants to do right. He may still end up sinning, but he hates the thing that he's done. He has that desire to live a life that pleases the Lord and turns from sin. Because he hates it more and more. This hatred of sin and the desire to do right is not natural. It comes from God. We saw the picture of the natural man in chapter 1. The natural man suppresses the truth and continues to live in his sin. That's not the picture we see here. The picture here is someone who has sinned, but he hates it. He's not suppressing the truth. He's not darkening his mind in order to continue to sin. Rather, he's struggling against sin and hating the sin that he does. It hurts him because he wants to do right. He sees the truth. It's not suppressed. And he delights in God's law, as you can see in verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." That's not something the unsaved man does either. This delight in living according to God's law in his inner being comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not the condition of an unbeliever, but the condition of a believer. In fact, you can see some of this in questions 89 and 90 in the Heidelberg Catechism when it's describing the putting to death the old man and the making alive of the new. It's a heartfelt hatred for sin. It's a sorrow for sin causing us to hate it and turn from it more and more, and a delight in living according to God's law. We can see both these things present here in Romans 7. And so I do believe that he's discussing the plight of a Christian, one who has been saved. But still has that remnant of flesh. Because our old self was crucified with the Lord Jesus. Crucified, slain, and buried. Romans 6, verse 6. Even though that our old man is crucified, slain, and buried, we still live in it. The old man is powerless to enslave us. We're no longer slaves to sin. But we have yet to cast it off completely as well. And God's wisdom, that doesn't come until our death or His second coming, whichever comes first. We still have that remnant of that sinful nature within us, which we must struggle against. Right now we see in part, but we'll be fully free in the next world, where sin is defeated totally and completely and wiped away. Here it's been defeated and paid for in the Lord Jesus Christ, but its remains are still here among us. And we're called to mortify it or put it to death, to put it off. But it won't be fully removed until the Lord Jesus comes again. And even Paul here is struggling with it, and so too will we. Paul gives us a picture of the internal life of a Christian and describes it as an internal war. That there's a war inside every Christian. There's a war in our members, a war between the flesh and the spirit, that remnant of the old man and that new man within us. Our old nature and our new one. And part of the war is evidenced in our emotions. Paul here admits that he hates sin and he loathes it, even though he does it, and when he does it, he hates it, and that he desires to do what is good. He agrees that the law is good. He doesn't approve of a sin, although he does it. He wants to do what is good. Verse 21. He often fails at it, but his desire is to do it. Because this is a truth, that Christians do sin. We are not made perfect right here, right now. We still struggle with sin. But we, like Paul, no longer love sin. We no longer relish it. We hate it. It bothers us. We should feel guilty and we should hate our own actions and long for the time when we sin no more. That internal war so often takes place is visible in those emotions that we have. And those emotions drive us away from sin and towards Jesus Christ, away from that thing that we loathe and hate and towards that thing, that person that we love. As Paul ends up proclaiming here at the end of this chapter, who will deliver me from this body of death? It shows what Paul thinks of his sinful failures. It shows that Paul is looking for deliverance and that he has a thankful heart for that deliverance when it's found in Jesus Christ. Now some have taken this and said, oh look, when we sin now as Christians, it's not our fault. Paul tells us here, it's not fault. It's no longer I who sin, but sin that dwells in me. In verse 20. But that's not what Paul's saying here either. He's not trying to get rid of responsibility for his sin. No, if you look at verse 17 and even verse 20, he still understands it's I who do it. It's the sin that dwells in him. It's not somebody else's sin. It's not sin that's somehow external, somehow that's not responsible. It's his sin that dwells within him. He's still guilty and responsible for those sins, and he knows it. He's not trying to say a Christian can't be considered responsible for sin now that he believes in Jesus. In fact, we see plenty of examples of Christians sinning in both the Old and New Testaments, and they're held responsible. And we know that Paul doesn't mean to try to remove responsibility. But what he's trying to say, and what he's trying to underscore here when he says, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's underscoring that sin is not who he is fundamentally anymore. That he is a new creature. That he's not a slave of sin. He still sins, but he's not a sinner. He's a saint who sins. He wants us to see that our nature has been fundamentally changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a new nature and he is a new creation. A new creation in Christ Jesus, and that he's no longer a slave to sin. The sin is now the exception to his nature, not the rule of it. And then Paul makes this final assertion here in verse 25, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And here Paul is talking about the inner man and the old man, the new man and the old man. The mind Paul here is using for covering all of that inner being, his heart and his intentions, his purpose, his emotions. Those things serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his old man, that nature that's been crucified, slain, and buried, yet still around, that wars against these new desires, this new heart. It's that old man that served sin that's still causing problems. But Paul gives us the answer to this struggle. And that's deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's discussing the struggle of the Christian, and it bothers him. It bothers him so much, you can almost, as you read it, you can see that Paul can't control himself anymore while he's talking about the fact that he struggles with sin. And he says, I don't do the things I want to do, and I do those things that I hate. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He just explodes into this prayer. And then he answers his own question, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's overcome with his own emotions as he's writing about his own internal struggle. And he says, who can deliver me from this struggle? Who can do it? Thanks be to God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who can. Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Jesus has already saved him from his sins, but Jesus is also the answer to the sanctification struggle which we have so much right now. He is the answer for how we live our life right here and right now. Jesus is the one who defeated the body of death, never gave in to temptation. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who has given him the desire to serve God, and it's Jesus who will sanctify him. It's Jesus who will purge him of all sin. It's Jesus who conforms him to righteousness. It's Jesus who has the victory. This defeat of sin in his life and this overcoming of sin as he struggles day in and day out won't be won by his own strength. It'll be won by the strength of Jesus. It'll be won by the Holy Spirit that Jesus has placed in our hearts. The answer is thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this is the picture of the Christian life that Paul has given to us. That there is an internal struggle and a war. We are not made perfect immediately. Too often people want to look at their own soul and see perfection and see beauty and see no sin. And then they look at their soul and that's not what they see. And when they don't see the perfection and they don't see all the holiness that they're expecting, they get concerned and they get overcome. But Paul himself here is saying that in his soul he sees a war, he sees a struggle, and that's good. Yes, it can cause frustration and pain. Yes. It means there's a struggle. But we should respond just like Paul and cry out as he does, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then find the same answer that Paul does, "Thanks be to God." The answer is Jesus. Because Paul is showing us here that growing in holiness does not mean struggling with sin less. Growing in holiness is relying on Jesus more and more as we fight against sin. And as we grow in holiness, we'll even see our sin more clearly. We'll see things that we used to not think were sin, and we'll know that's sin too. And we'll struggle against that. We'll see sin more easily and more quickly. And sin won't just go away at the snap of our fingers. Yet as Christians, we'll have a heartfelt hatred of that sin, and we will struggle against it. And we will fight the war that is within us. Having that struggle, having that fight, doesn't mean that we're unholy or that we're failing. It means we're growing in our knowledge of who God is and of who we are. And that we are His work in progress. And that we can trust the promise that what He has begun, He will complete. And that He who has saved us then from our sins will bring us through the struggle all the way to the end. Preserve us and persevere us. Because Jesus will deliver us from this body of death. He is the only hope in our fight against sin here on earth. And He has promised to wipe it away completely in heaven. And when we look at ourselves and we see a daily struggle with sin, it should make us turn to Jesus more and more. It should drive us quickly to our knees. To show our true dependence upon the only one who can defeat sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. To turn to Him and say, "Deliver me from this body of death, Lord Jesus. Take away this sin. Strengthen me and help me. Wash me clean. Make me white as snow." And so if you're looking at yourself and you see that struggle with sin, if you see Romans 7 taking place in you, then the Lord Jesus has invited you to this table. It is not for those who are free from sin, free from the struggle of it. It is for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that they have been forgiven their sin. This is one of the means of grace that the Lord Jesus has given to you to help you deliver from this body of death, to be visibly reminded that He has already paid for all the sins that you're struggling for. That His body is broken for you, that His blood is shed for you. That the Father in heaven has loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. If you believe this and have that heartfelt hatred for sin and that heartfelt love of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the table of the Lord Jesus is for you. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. We ask Your blessing upon Your sacrament, and Lord, that You would help us as we struggle with our sin. Deliver us from this body of death. Help us not become weary in fighting the good fight, but always be ready to turn to You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.